Will you please turn to the book of Hebrews? Hebrews chapter 5. We will read from verse 13 and verse 14 and then the first part of verse 1 of chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13. For everyone that partakes of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to full-grown men, who on account of habit have their senses exercised for distinguishing both good and evil. Wherefore, leaving the word of the beginning of the Christ, let us go on to what belongs to full growth. May we have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, how we praise and thank Thee that Thou hast called together this morning to remember Thee at Thy table and also to hear Thy word. Lord, Thou dost love us so much that Thou hast given even Thy own life to us. And it is Thy will that our life should grow into full growth, that we may be to the praise of Thy glory. So we commit this time into Your hand. We pray that by Thy Spirit, Thou will open Thy word to us, that we may really be brought into the reality of Thy word is. We ask in Thy precious name. Amen. Amen. Well, dear brothers and sisters, it is good to see you all. As usual, I have no intention to preach a sermon. I would like to share my heart to you, because there is something that has burdened me in recent times. And my burden is very simple. I feel that among God's people, there seems to be a real lack of growing spiritually. We have believed in the Lord Jesus, and we have received His life in us. But so far as that life in us is, it seems that we are not growing as we should. And for this reason, I have been before the Lord, asking the Lord why. What is the reason for it? And what is the secret of real Christian growth? That we may really grow in the Lord and be conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus. Because it is the will of God that He not only will save us to be His children, but He wants to see that we all will be transformed and conformed to the image of Christ. So this is my burden, and this is what I want to share with your dear brothers and sisters. Now in Hebrews 5, verse 13 and 14, we find that they are babes. and therefore grow. I think everybody loves babies. I remember just a few days ago, a young couple in our midst, they got a boy. And they carried that boy to us to show us that lovely boy. Everybody loves babies. They are so sweet, so innocent, so real. When they want to cry, they cry. No matter whether it is midnight or not. When they want to eat, they cannot wait. You have to serve them as quickly as possible. All they will lose is temper. They seem to have every right over everybody. Babes are lovely. But if you have a babe of 30 years old or 40 years old, that becomes a worry. It's no longer a joy, it is a grief to the family. And the same thing is true in the family of God. We do thank the Lord that once we were dead in sins and transgressions, we had no hope, we knew no God, we are on our way to eternal death. But thank God, He loves us. And He loves us to such an extent that He sent His only begotten Son into this world to become a man like us for the simple reason to be a substitute for our sins. He who knows no sin was made sin for us, that we might be the righteousness of God. You know, before God, we were sinners, condemned to eternal death. But God's only beloved Son is sinless. He pleased His Father in everything. And yet, He was willing to come into this world to bear our sins in His own body. He received the judgment of God for us. He shed His blood for the remission of our sins. And He gave His own life, that God's life, divine life, eternal life, to each and everyone who believes in Him. So in other words, you find that our God so loved us that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So this is a fact, that everyone who confess, repent of his sins, and believe in Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, we receive eternal life. And by that it means we are born into the family of God. You know, there is a real misunderstanding in the world. People say, now God is not only our Creator who created us, but He is our Father. Now, this is not true to everybody, to everyone who is born into this world. Yes, He is the creator of every man, but He is only Father to those who are born of the Spirit. So unless you're born of the Holy Spirit, you're not a child of God. And God is not your Father. But thank God, we who believe in the Lord Jesus, it is not only that our sins have been forgiven. Now that's good, but that's not good enough for God. He even begets us and gives us His own life. And this life is represented by His Son, Jesus Christ. So the Bible says, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. So thank God, by believing in Him, we have the Son, we have God's life in us, we have Christ in us. And the Bible said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. In other words, when you are saved and you're born again, you have God's life in you. You have Christ in you. But this is not the end. This is the beginning. Because He said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. In other words, there is something of glory waiting for you. And what is glory? Now in the Bible, glory is something that is very, very difficult to define. Because it is so heavenly. It is so spiritual, so sublime. The only way to explain glory is whenever God appears, you see glory. In other words, when you see glory, you see God. But that is what God is. So here you find He gave His life to us. For what purpose? Not just for the purpose of going to heaven, which is good, of course. Thank God for that. But He gave lives to us that we may have the hope of glory. In other words, that this life in us will so grow and into full growth, so that we may bear even the character of Christ. That is glory. Whenever God is manifested in our life, now that is glory. And you find that unless you are growing in spiritual life, you will not arrive at that glory. But this is God's purpose for every one of us. So here you find babes. Now, what is the condition of the babes? You find that the babes can only drink milk, whether it is from his mother's breast or whether it is from the cow. But anyway, you find that a babe can only consume milk. Now, you cannot give solid food to a baby. Why? Because he's not able to digest solid food. So the mother has to eat for the baby. And after the mother digested the food and turned into milk, then she feeds the baby with milk. And the Bible tells us, spiritually speaking, now we are born of God. So we have a spiritual life. And this life, at its beginning, can only be nourished with milk. In other words, when you are first born of God, you have life. But you do not have the ability of digesting the Word of God, which is solid food. And by the Word of God, you know what is righteous, what is not righteous. So you find that as a babe in Christ, after you are saved, you realize that you are different now. You are not, no longer, belonging to the world, because you belong to God. And because you belong to God, you want to walk in His way. You want to please Him. You want to do His will, which is righteousness. But you don't know how. You don't know how. You do not know what is the right thing to do as a child of God. And you need to. The help of those who are more advanced in Christ than you are. So oftentimes you find as a young Christian or as a beginning Christian, you want to ask, now, can I do this? Or shouldn't I do this? Should I go there? Or shouldn't I go there? Yeah, you need to know what will be pleasing to God, because you yourself are not able to consume solid food. You need the help of those who have known the Lord more than you do. But thank God for one thing. And the one thing is, the babes loves milk. You know, a baby, you find she's always trying to find the breast of his mother. There is a desire within him. He wants to receive milk. Now, if a baby does not want to have milk, now what will happen? It cannot live. So there is a built-in desire within the baby. He is seeking for milk, that through milk he might grow properly. So when you read 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, it tells us that as a babe you desire the mental milk of the Word of God. And because you love the milk of the Word of God, and by that, you begin to grow into salvation. You know, why is it that all who believe in the Lord Jesus should read the Bible? You say, well, I read the Bible, but I do not understand it. I need someone to help me to understand what is in the Word of God. Now, even though you do not understand it, you have to read it. You have to desire it. Because when you are reading it, even though in the beginning you only see the letter of the word, you do not really get into the spirit of the word. But even the letter of the word is a base for you to get into the spirit of the word. So everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus, we are told that we need to diligently read the Word. And it is not something that you do it once in a while. Now, if a baby should drink milk once in a few days, what will happen to that baby? It cannot live. It has to do it often. Now, I was just told by that recent couple that have the baby that every 2 hours the baby has to be fed. And the father lost his sleep. But for love, the parents are willing to do that. So, brothers and sisters, if you are a new believer, you need to read the Bible. Even if you may not understand it fully, but you need to desire it. You need to let the world be stored within you. So one day, that revelation, that light will come to you as you grow in the Lord. And you will begin to understand the spirit behind the letter of the word. So, as a new believer, we have to diligently read the Bible. Now, I believe when I was first saved, I was told that if we can read the Bible, 3 chapters of the Old Testament and 1 chapter of the New Testament every day, we will be able to go through the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation once a year. So I tried to do it. Every morning I got up early and I opened the Bible and read 3 chapters in the Old Testament and 1 chapter in the New Testament. I just read them. But I did not understand. But even though I did not understand, the Word of God began to be stored within me. So when I go to hear people preaching, explaining the Word of God, that helps me to understand. And also, when I grow up a little bit in the Lord, in life, light begins to shine upon me. And I begin to understand what the Word of God is really saying. So, dear brothers and sisters, if you are a new believer, I will encourage you to spend time reading the Word of God. Even though you may not understand, but store it in your heart. Even the letter of the Word. That will be the basis, the foundation for your understanding. But, of course, you need the help of brothers and sisters. That's the reason why we as Christians, we cannot live all by ourselves. We are born into the family of God. We need not only milk, but we need our family members. We need our parents. We need our brothers and sisters. And they will help us to grow in the Lord. So do not try to live an independent Christian life. You won't be able to do that. You need to have your family with you. And that's the reason why we need to gather together for prayer. We need to gather together to study the Bible together. We need to gather together to remember the Lord on the Lord's Day. And we need to hear what the Lord has to say to us through our older brothers. We need that. But on the other hand, you cannot live such a dependent life throughout your whole life. In other words, you have to begin to know how to eat solid food. You are to be responsible yourself for your spiritual life. And you ought to grow to such a way that not only you will receive help from your brothers and sisters, but you will be a help to your brothers and sisters. So that is what is important. We need to grow into full growth. We need to be able to consume solid food. And how are we going to do that? In verse 14 it said, solid food belongs to full-grown men who, on account of habit, have their senses exercised for distinguishing both good and evil. So in other words, you find as your life grows, then you begin to develop a habit. And that habit is to have your senses exercised. Now, what do you mean by senses exercised? I believe the senses here do not refer to our physical senses. You know, we have five senses. We have eyes to see, ears to hear, nose to smell, mouth to eat, and hands to touch. These are five senses. And by these five senses, we live in this world. But here, the senses here does not refer to our physical senses. Because we are thinking of our spiritual growth, how our spiritual life, that is the life of Christ within us, will grow in us. And this growth comes from exercising our senses. So what are the senses here? The senses refer to the spiritual senses in us. We have a spiritual life. And this spiritual life is Christ in you. And this spiritual life has senses. And you have to exercise the senses in order that the life of Christ in you may grow into maturity. This refers to our spirit. So, brothers and sisters, again, you must remember, what do you mean by being born again? Being born again means he that is born of the Spirit is spirit. That is John chapter 3, verse 6. He that is born of the Holy Spirit is the new human spirit. You know, because of sin, the spirit that God has given to us, our human spirit, was dead. Because the Bible said, God said to Adam, on the day that you should eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die. But Adam lived for hundreds of years. And he begot sons and daughters. So far as his body is concerned, his body did not die at once on that day, nor his soul. He still have his feeling, affection, love, had babies, children, family life. His soul was very alive. But God said, on the day you should eat that forbidden fruit, you die. Now what died? Spirit in him was dead. God created us with a spirit and soul and body. Because God is spirit. You can only communicate with God with spirit. If you don't have a spirit, you cannot communicate with God. You cannot communicate with God with your body, nor with your soul, with your thinking. No. You have to be in touch with God with your spirit. But fallen man, their spirit is dead. So they do not know God. You know, you find people who are very clever. They know everything. But when you talk about God, it's a blank. Because their spirit was dead. But thank God, when we believe in the Lord Jesus, our spirit is reborn, cleansed, a new spirit. Therefore, we cry out in our spirit, with the Holy Spirit, to God, Abba, Father. So we who believe in the God, we have contact with God. Our spirit is new, is living, and Christ lives in our spirit. And Christ in our spirit will grow, and that is spiritual growth. And how is it to be grown? We find God has made every provision for us. Why? Because He gave His own Spirit to each and every one of us. Everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus has a new spirit, has Christ as life in your spirit, and has the Holy Spirit dwells in you. And why is it that the Holy Spirit should dwell in you? For what reason? For what purpose? He is there to see to it that the Christ in your spirit will grow from babyhood to manhood, to womanhood. Now that is the mission of the Holy Spirit in you. But when He's doing that work, we need to cooperate with exercise, our senses. You know, the problem with God's people today for not growing spiritually is because they do not know how to exercise their spiritual senses to cooperate with the work of the Holy Spirit in us. And that's the reason why we are not growing spiritually. Our growth is mainly in our mind. We heard a lot, we read a lot, and we understand a lot. We are growing mentally, in knowledge, in theology. But that is not real growth, real spiritual growth. Real spiritual growth, it has to be growing in the Spirit. That is, Christ in our spirit will grow from babyhood to manhood and womanhood. And the Holy Spirit who dwells in us is the manager of it, the guardian of it. He is see to it that it will be growing. But He needs our cooperation. That is to say, our spiritual senses. The spirit has senses, just like our body has senses. Our spiritual senses need to be exercised. If our spiritual senses are not exercising, the Holy Spirit has no way to bring us into spiritual growth. And that is one thing I feel that God's people today are very much neglecting. You know, in recent years, people are very conscious of physical exercise. We are reminded again and again that to have health, it is not just by eating, drinking, and sleeping. If you do only eating and drinking and sleeping, you have obesity. It is not healthy. Now, spiritually, it is the same thing. You know, spiritually, You need to exercise your spirit. Otherwise, you will have spiritual obesity. And by that means, your mind is full of theology, but your feet remains tiny. Unbalanced. Real spiritual growth is your spirit growing. And it means the Christ in your spirit is growing up until it reaches manhood. That is real spiritual growth. And that is how much of Christ do you have. What is the measure of Christ in your life? How much of Christ is manifested in your life? When people look at you, when people in touch with you, when people hear you, do they touch you or do they touch the Christ in you? Is Christ being formed in you? And if he is being formed, then it will be manifested. So, brothers and sisters, this is very, very essential. The Holy Spirit in us is waiting to do such a work. But are you exercising your spirit? If you do not exercise your spirit, the Holy Spirit has no way to bring in that spiritual growth. Now, how do we exercise our spirit? We know how to exercise our body. But how do we exercise our spirit? Because we don't see our spirit. We only know the spirit is there because we have contact with God. We know that life, Christ is our life, but it is baby stage and not in its full grown stage. But how do we exercise our spirit? We exercise our spirit by its functions, just like electricity. We do not see electricity, but we all believe in electricity. Why? Because we have the light here. We have the heat here. We have the power here, and it all comes from electricity. Therefore, by its function, we are sure of electricity. Now, the same thing is our spirit. How do we know I have a spirit? By its function. Our spirit, according to the Word of God, have mainly three functions. Number one, conscience. Number two, intuition. Number three, communion. These are the three basic functions of our spirit. Conscience is very important. But before we believe in the Lord Jesus, do we have a conscience? You know, when Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit, what happened? Immediately they realized they were naked. And they, when they heard the voice of God coming into the garden, they hid themselves. Why? Because their conscience accused them, telling them that they had done something wrong. They were not fit to see God. But brothers and sisters, even before we believe in the Lord Jesus, the conscience is there, but it is very weak. I often say our conscience was in coma. Why? Because only when you are in danger or when you are dying, your conscience seems to be aroused. So our Chinese proverbs say, when a bird is dying, the crying is very moveful. But when a person is dying, he begins to speak some good words. Why? Because his conscience accuses him. You are not fit to see God. So you try to say something good in order to bribe your conscience. And there are cases, you know, people who are atheists. When they are in danger, they cry out to heaven. Why? Because their conscience told them that God was there. But our conscience will in coma. And our conscience has lost its standard. Why? Because if a cannibal eats someone that he killed, does his conscience bother him? No. On the contrary, he feels he's strengthened. But for you to do that, you cannot do that. Your conscience will not allow you to do that because of tradition, because of custom, because of the society that you are living in. So in other words, to an unbeliever, his conscience is governed by custom and by civilization. But we who believe in the Lord Jesus, our Lord Jesus' blood has cleansed the conscience of our heart. So we now have a clear conscience. And who is the standard of our conscience now? God Himself. It is not custom. It is not education. Not civilization. It is God. God now becomes the standard of your conscience. In other words, the conscience will work according to God. The Holy Spirit will bring God to our conscience and tells us what is right before God and what is wrong. So we who believe in the Lord Jesus, we have a new conscience, a clear conscience. And as a believer, how are we to walk in this world as Christians? By what standard? How do we know this is right or this is wrong? Thank God, the Holy Spirit will touch our conscience and tell us what is right in the sight of God and what is wrong. Even custom, your society does not disprove, but that doesn't mean for us Christians, that it is right. We have to walk according to the conscience of our heart. We have to walk according to God's standard. And this is something supernaturally natural. Why? Because after you believe in the Lord Jesus, you know what happened? Suppose, before you believe in the Lord Jesus, you are very careless in your speech. You like to exaggerate. Or even tell some lie. Maybe a white lie. Or even a black lie. And when you are able to do that, you feel good about it. But after you believe in the Lord Jesus, did it happen to you? When you are talking and exaggerating and boasting, what happened? It seems as if there is a still small voice within you that said, now, this is enough. Be careful. Do you have that kind of experience? I believe every one of us had that kind of experience. But because you all have the habit of exaggeration, therefore even with this voice within you telling you, you better stop, you continue on. But after you continue on, what happens? You find your conscience strikes you. You are accused. Not by man, nobody, notice it, but within yourself, you feel bad. Instead of being joyful, you feel sorry. And what happened? Unless you repent and ask the Lord to forgive you, your communication with God was interrupted. You cannot pray. You have to repent and do according to what your conscience tells you. Then you find your communication with God is resumed. And that is a daily thing, right? So you find the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 24, verse 16, when he was questioned by the governor Felix, he testified. He said, for this reason, I exercise myself to have a conscience without offense before God and man. Now that is his testimony. How does he live before man and before God? A good conscience. A conscience without offense. That's the way we live our Christian life. That's the way that we grow spiritually. That's the way that we grow into the likeness of God. That makes all the difference. We are not like a man. We are like God. Because it is His life, His Spirit in us. And you remember when Paul wrote to Timothy. In 1 Timothy he said, we are fighting a good fight of faith. And how are we going to fight? We have to maintain faith and a good conscience. Chapter 1. If you lose your conscience, you lose your faith. It will be like a shipwreck. Because when you lose your conscience, you have a hole in your life. And you leak. It's a shipwreck. But brothers and sisters, unfortunately, God's people do not realize how important it is to maintain a good conscience before God and man. We often neglect what our conscience tells us. You know, conscience is not only to accuse us. Conscience is only also to approve us. If we are doing something that is right in the sight of God, our conscience will excuse us. That is the work of our conscience. And this is the way that we shall exercise our spirit. And the more you are exercising, the clearer, the stronger will be your conscience. And this is the way that Christ in your spirit will grow continuously until full growth. Now there is another function in your spirit that you need to exercise, and that is intuition. Now what is intuition? Intuition is direct knowledge. Now, how do you get knowledge today? Indirectly. You gather information from outside. And you gather all these informations and store them in your brain. And your brain has the ability to analyze them, group them, and reason them, and come to a conclusion. That's the way we gather information. That's the way we grow mentally, wisely. That's why we have to go to school, in order to gather information. And we go to society to gather information from society. But God has a better way of informing us. He will give us direct knowledge to our spirit. Our spirit has the ability to receive direct knowledge from God. It's within, not from outside. In other words, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, it says, you have the unction, the anointing within you. You do not need anyone to teach you, because the anointing within you will teach you in all things, small things and big things. And if you obey the teaching of the anointing within you, you abide in Christ. In other words, the anointing is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is like an ointment. And when it begins to move within you, it is like applying an anointing. You know? And the Holy Spirit is responsible to tell you what is the will of God and what is not the will of God. You know, our problem is we don't know what is the will of God. We don't know what is really good. Now, good in the scripture has only one meaning. Good means God's will. That is good. Whatever is God's will is good. Whatever is not God's will is evil. So you remember in Matthew chapter 7, the Lord said, someone may say, Lord, Lord, you know, I preach the gospel on the streets for you. I even cast out demons. I do miracles. And the Lord said, I do not know you. You are wicked. Why? Because you are not doing according to my will. You are doing according to yourself. So, brothers and sisters, we as Christians, how do we live? We live by the will of God. To do the will of God. That is good. And whatever is not the will of God is bad. But how do we know? Thank God. The anointing within you will tell us. You know, I remember when I was in New York, there was a brother who was newly saved. He didn't know the Bible, and he went to Boston. And when on Sunday he went to a church to hear preaching, and while he was hearing the preacher preaching, somehow within him he felt uneasy. Now he had even no knowledge of the Bible, but he felt uneasy within himself. He did not know why. He cannot explain it. Then he came back to New York and told me about it. And what he told me proved that what he sensed within him is right. The anointing is telling him. He did not understand, but he knew something was not right. Brothers and sisters, is it not true that sometimes when we do not really know what is the will of God, we pray. And as we pray, somehow within us, someone is telling us, this is the right way. Go into it. The Holy Spirit is teaching great things and small things. So in everything, we need to seek the will of God. Do not think that only in great things we pray. Small things we do ourselves. No. Great things or small things, the Holy Spirit will teach us. And the more you exercise your intuitive power, the more you will know the will of God. And the more you will grow spiritually unto full growth. You know, this is the new covenant we are in. Because when you read Hebrews chapter 8, verse 11, he said, you do not need anyone to tell you know the Lord. Because every one of you, from the littlest among you to the greatest, shall know me in yourself. You shall know me in yourselves. So thank God that he has made every provision for us to know his will and to grow up. And we need to pay attention to the Holy Spirit's enlightening, shining upon our spirit's intuition. And then another thing, which is, we need to exercise every day, and that is communion. Why is it that God's people need to maintain in communication with God? People in the world do not have that ability. They cannot do it. But thank God we are. And we need to exercise our communion faculty in our spirit. Sometimes I feel we are told by people, after you believe in the Lord Jesus, what should you do? Well, you are told you should read your Bible every day. You should pray every day. You should go to church every Sunday, and so forth. And you do all these things dutifully. But does that mean that because of doing that, you grow spiritually? Your spiritual life really grow? Not necessarily. Why? Because when you are doing these things, you are not exercising your communion faculty. In other words, when you are reading the Bible, you just read it with your mind. I often say every believer is a born theologian, because when you read the Bible, what are you doing? You are explaining it. That's what we are doing. So everything is mental. Nothing spiritual. When you read the Bible, do you open your heart to the Lord and ask the Lord to speak to you through His Word? Are you in communion with God? And when you're praying, what are you doing? Are you just say a prayer and that's it? And do you really draw near to God that He may draw near to you? That there is a heart-to-heart fellowship with God. And that's prayer. Prayer is communion with God. And that is what God desires of us. And that is how we grow spiritually. You know, we often say when a husband and a wife were married, are married for 50 years or 60 years, they look alike. Why? Because they look at each other day and night, communing, fellowship with each other day and night. So even their physical features begin to change. Now, this is true spiritually. If you are really in communion with God, day by day, year by year, there has to be a transformation. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, he said, with unveiled veil face, we look at the glory of the Lord, and we will be changed from glory to glory, even as by the Lord, the Spirit. That's communion. So I often feel that God's people, even when you're reading the Bible, you are not in communion. Even you're praying, you're not communing. You are reporting. Even when you go to church, you are not communing. Now, maybe you're here hearing me speaking. Now, are you in communion with God? If you are not in communion with God, my word will only fall into your mind. It cannot fall into your spirit. But if you come with yourself open to the Lord and you're really in the presence of the Lord, then you'll find hearing the word is different. You are not only hearing in your spirit, but you are really helping the speaker because you are opening God's way. Brothers and sisters, you see the difference? If you are close to the Lord, really in communion with the Lord, there had to be transformation from glory to glory. Even as by the Lord, the Spirit. Because that is the work of the Holy Spirit. So, dear brothers and sisters, it is very simple, very basic, but very essential. If we are not doing it, we may be a believer for 50 years and remain a babe in Christ. And that will be a sorrow to our Heavenly Father. He wants us to grow into full growth. And He has shown His way to us. The more you know how to exercise your spirit, the more you will grow. I will say, supernaturally natural. Because it becomes a habit. You know, we Our personality is the result of habit. And if we want to have our personality transformed from ourselves to Christ, then we have to cultivate spiritual habits. And when habit is formed, it becomes natural. But that will be spiritually natural, supernaturally natural. But that's what Christian life is. So I hope that my fellowship with you this morning will be very practical. And hopefully that our time, our years, we do not know how long we may live, how long our Lord will return, how soon our Lord will return. But since we are still here, we have the opportunity. So take the opportunity. Do not neglect it. Exercise your spirit and allow the Christ life in you grow from babyhood to young people to fathers. And that will be pleasing to our Heavenly Father. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we commit these scattered words into your hands and pray, Lord, that thou will use these weak words and touch the innermost of our being and show us thy way of spiritual growth, that we may grow daily until we see thee face to face. We ask in thy precious name. Amen.